you will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. I'm Rob Artigo, your guest host for this edition of Tough Things First. Hi, Ray. It's good to be back with you.
Well, it's always good to be with you too, Rob. Thanks.
We've all heard the saying, the truth hurts. When you hear those words, Ray, what do you think?
That's an interesting comment, you know, the truth hurts. Because depending upon how we react to the truth, it tells a lot about who we are. So if we react to the truth in a positive way, means that we accept it. It may bother us. We may have guilt over it. But if we act, you know, humbly and contrite, then the who's delivering the truth to us, as you would, then says, well, you know, he gets it or she gets it, and so they feel good. They feel like they've made progress, and that you're going to then correct whatever issue that you have to change. However, on the other hand, if you react negatively, meaning you then defend, vehemently, or you act harshly, very defensive, and blow up and yell and scream and or walk out or hang up, that indicates then you are guilty, but you have no desire to change. You know, like they said, well, that I've obviously hit a nerve. They've used that term, meaning that, the way you can tell if you've hit a nerve or if the truth is really not being taken well by the other party is they will react extremely negative. Denial, excuses, blame, pointing the fingers. And that's an indication to you right there that they're not going to change or unlikely going to change. And that, you've got to take other steps than to resolve the issue.
Do we have to think about how we present that truth? I mean, I think that when we use the words, the truth hurts, sometimes it immediately conjures up, well, yeah, you're being mean or about it when you're giving somebody the truth, but you're not talking about that. You're just talking about plainly explaining to somebody the truth of the situation, and you're evaluating their reaction.
Mm-hmm. Or you're getting to the truth. You know, maybe you suspect, you don't know for sure, but you have your suspicions. So rather than being accusatory, rather than, you then shoving your finger in their face or you writing some kind of an inflammatory email or message, text message, you want to do it kindly. In other words, if you're going to bring out a problem, always, always do it kindly. Never think of it doing it in an accusatory, finger pointing, your voice raised way. In other words, just do it calmly and nicely, because then you can tell more accurately if the person is receiving the truth or if he is the problem by the way they react. However, if you yell and scream at them and they yell and scream back, it's hard to discern whether or not they're reacting to your yelling and screaming or whether they're reacting to the truth or as they say, the truth hurts. So, if you're going to deliver a message to someone or if you want them to change or you believe that there may be an issue, do it in a very timely, calm way. Do not do it in a finger-pointing, accusatory, demeaning way, because the reaction that you're going to get from them will be somewhat responsive to the way you're delivering the message. So that's my advice is to do it at the appropriate time, in the appropriate place, with the appropriate demeanor. You know, and then, of course, afterwards, show forth a little bit of love and compassion for them, especially if they're contrite. You can tell if they're contrite because they will hang their head, or they'll, you know, get that look on their face like, oh, my gosh, you know. So the way they react then will help you understand how you want to deal with it. And it, obviously, if they're very contrite, very humble about it, willing to change, you know, you'd want to put your arm around them. You'd want to make them feel comfortable and encourage them, as opposed to, you know, I thought you did it, you know, rather than being, you know, having a nasty reaction to them being contrite. You know, be more positive, be even more reinforcing, because then it'll encourage them to want to do that next time, to you know, fess up, as they say. However, if you're doing calmly, politely, bringing up the issue to them, and they react in a very, you know, angry and infamous way, then you know, you're dealing with a problem that going to take a little bit of workaround to get it resolved. And oftentimes when they do blow up and you know, and denial and all that, you may have to take some other kind of reinforcing action, which is less pleasant for them, to get it resolved.
That's why it's so complicated to be a manager, because you have to, you can't just say, this is what I'm going to do if A happens, and this is what I'm going to do if B happens, because sometimes it's a combination of A and B on both sides. You know,
yep.
Somebody who made an error and quickly admits to it when they've been confronted with the truth can also require some additional, you know, training and a little bit of help going forward. And same thing with the person who flies off the handle, as you use those words. You got to be ready as a manager to be able to make those decisions and do it in a way that's, well, going to have the best outcome. So it's not going to be just A, and it's not going to be just B. Sometimes it's going to be both A and B.
Yep. And you know, maybe it's another podcast, but we talk about culpability.
Right.
Culpability varies from 0 to 100%. And in many cases, you know, there's maybe only 10% culpability on the part of the person you're speaking, but that's something that they have to deal with, even if it's 10%. Of course, if it's 80%, then definitely they're going to have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what people have a hard time dealing with is when they're not at least north of 50% culpable. They don't want to have to deal with it, and yet, you know, I've given instructions where I could see subsequently after I talked to the individual that I wasn't very clear. So I had, you know, some level of culpability in the way I delivered the instructions. And I accepted that. I said, you know, well, looks like I wasn't very clear on what I wanted. And so, you know, I take partial responsibility for the mishap or the problem. And then you move forward. So, you know, the first thing that I suggest that anyone does is when they have a problem is look at themselves first. What could I have contributed to this mess, to this dire situation? Because, you know, if you do that, then you have already gone further in understanding, putting yourself in their shoes, as to what you might have done or could have done to have mitigated that problem. Yeah. in the first place.
And you're going to be a greater asset to your employer when that employer sees you behaving that way.
Exactly.
As always, you can reach out to Ray Zinn with your questions at toughthingsfirst.com. Continue your education right here and the conversation with all the podcasts, blogs, and links to information about the book, Tough Things First. Thank you, Ray.
You are so welcome, Rob.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.